Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Southern Gospel Conversations podcast. I'm your host, Nicholas Wilkie, and today we have a talented singer and a new friend of mine on the show. His name is Larry Riddle. Larry, how are you, brother?
I'm just fine, Nicholas. I hope you're well today, my friend.
Man, I'm good. I'm glad to have you on. Looking forward to it.
Thank you very much, Nicholas. Glad to be with you, brother.
Yes, sir. Hey, man, to get started, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell me who you are, maybe about your family and where you live and all that stuff.
All right, my name's Larry Riddle. I sang bass for the Primitive Quartet for 50 years. Retired 3 years ago. Just been enjoying myself. I'm married. My wife's Mitzi. I've got two daughters, Kelly and Kendall, and a house full of grandkids that I love dearly. Live in Candler, North Carolina, and made precious friends all over the country in that 50 years, Nicholas. And I do not miss the road, but I miss my friends, and I miss those sweet services.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that would be the thing you'd miss the most, I'd say, probably, is missing the friends.
Miss my friends and miss them good services we had all over the country.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Well, hey man, let's go back many years ago now and tell me how you became a fan of gospel music before you actually started singing, because I know you maybe you became a fan of gospel music before you actually started singing, right?
Well, I guess I did, Nicholas. I loved gospel music. I got saved when I was 18 years old at Maple Ridge Baptist Church. Changed my world absolutely for the better. So very proud of that. And started singing right away with just some boys there in the church. And then I sang with Norman and Furman Wilson and their family a little bit. And then Furman and I just became best of friends. He became a preacher later on, a little later on. And we started singing with me and Furman and Norman, his brother, and my brother Reagan as a Primitive Quartet. And right after I saved, as I said, we started singing just with boys there at the church, and I loved it. Lord, I loved the Lord, and we had some wonderful services back then and traveled around a very little, but we did a little bit, you know, with those boys. And then when the Primitive Quartet started singing, we sang around Western North Carolina and Eastern Tennessee, and I guess it was 78 we traveled with the Inspirations a couple of years. I was big fans of that quartet and just loved gospel music, loved the Lord, and they asked us to travel with them a couple of years, and we did, and introduced us to all their friends. And after that, we started singing by ourselves, you know, and just traveled and just did it for 50 years, a long, long time.
Oh, yeah. Very good. So that's kind of your history in gospel music, huh?
That's kind of my history in gospel music. It was just a God thing. He opened the doors. I never planned to do it ever. We never planned to travel and sing, you know, full time as we did. But God just opened the doors and we stepped through it. And it was a blessing for a long time, Nicholas, a long time.
Oh, yes.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful years, wonderful time. I was gone half of the time away from my family, so my precious wife took care of my kids, and I was here 4 days and gone 3 days a week for that time. But 50 years was long enough for me to be on the road and away from my family. Now I enjoy my grandkids and my wife and just do whatever I want to do.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir, no doubt. Well, in all those years on the road, I know that there's probably been a lot of funny stuff that has happened on the road. Why don't you tell me a funny road story that you can think of?
Oh, there's several comes to my mind, Nicholas. I guess we were singing in Ashland, Kentucky, I believe it was. And that's when we were really close with the Inspirations. And they set up a prank. The church that we sang at, two or three of the boys worked for the sheriff's department. And they set it up after the service to pull the bus over. And so they did. We started down the road, and the blue lights came on everywhere and pulled us over. And Norman was driving, and that sheriff stepped up, and he said, "Is there a Norman Wilson on this bus?" And he said, "Yes, sir, that's me." He said, I've got a warrant for your arrest for non-support. He said, non-support? He said, I don't even have any children. He said, oh, yes. He said, it's one of the worst things you do. It's not support your own children. He said, I'm going to have to arrest you. And boy, he got tore out of the frame, you know. And it went on and on and on. They took him off the bus and then brought him back up and talked to us. And he said, we're going to have to take you in. It's the Honorable Jack Laws. His name is on this warrant. He's a judge in North Carolina. And Norman said, Jack Laws? Do you know who that was?
Oh,
you
yeah, Bear Jack, Hunter. Yeah.
The old Bear Hunter.
The old Bear Hunter. And, inspirations.
The judge, Honorable Jack Laws, and oh, they had the best laugh out of that in the world. And that whole church knew about it, and they laughed at Norman for years and years about that. But I'm telling you, they was about to haul him off, and Norman was just assured that they was about to haul him off.
Yeah.
That was a funny one.
Yeah.
That was a good one. He never got over that, I'm telling you. He said, I will return the favor, Mr. Jack Laws. I don't know if he ever got Jack back or not, but we all love Jack. He was precious, precious old boy.
Oh, yeah.
Precious old boy.
Yeah.
He really was. But these people pull pranks. You know, we've been pulled over many times by people that just in the town that we knew, you know, and they'd set it up and this say they're going to take us off. There was another time we was right about the time the World Fair was in Knoxville, Tennessee, and we ate up there in that Space Needle. You know, they had a needle there where that restaurant was way up top. And we was eating with J. Basil Mull. Are you familiar with J. Basil Mull? He had the TV program in Chattanooga and Knoxville for many, many years on their major network. But he was a blessing to us. He really, really was. Introduced us to a world of people. But we was eating in that needle, and I was looking over the, you could see down in the side, and there was some people taking that silverware and putting it in their pocketbooks and just stealing it, you know. It was our quartet and Jay Basil and his wife, and Archie Watkins was with us for some reason. Well, that gave Archie the wild idea to slip Jay Basil. You know, he couldn't see. So he slipped 5 or 6, 8 or 10 pieces of silverware in Jay Basil's pocket, and we stepped up to pay, and he went to pecking on Jay Basil's pocket. And he said, Jay Basil, what is that in your pocket? And he reached down in there and pulled that out. That's a handful of silverware. And that lady at the cashier said, what are you doing with our silverware? And Jack said, oh, dear Lord, Doc, he said, what are you doing to me? What are you doing to me? But it was just a joke, just a joke. But they've been a lot of wonderful, funny things happened down through the years.
Yeah, no doubt.
Lots of wonderful things. It's been good. It's been good.
Yeah, no doubt.
We had a lot of fun on the road.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Well, I know there's been a lot of funny stuff that has happened, and such as that. But I also know there's been a lot of touching times where maybe the Lord used you to minister to somebody at the product table or the altar or anything like that. Do you have a story like that you can share?
Well, I guess the most memorable one that comes to my mind, one of them, Nicholas, we had our singing in Omni Valley and Inspirations had their singing in Bryson City. And it's probably in the early 80s. There was a precious family that we got to know. Otis Graham was a man's name, and his wife had been after him to come to the mountains with her, to come to the singing for years and years and years. And finally, he consented to come. And we were singing that night, and I remember Otis telling me this story. He said he talked real long and slow from Picayune, Mississippi. He said they announced a primitive quartet was going to get up and sing. And he said, I didn't really want to be there, but he said, I came for my wife. And he said, when they introduced a primitive quartet, he said, this will be a fine time for me to take me a little break, go to the bathroom and get me a snack. And I'll never forget it, Nicholas. He said, He said, I got up and he said, I might have took 10 or 12 steps. And he said, something got a hold of me that never got a hold of me before. He said, the Holy Ghost got a hold of me. And he said, I just had to turn around and walk back to my seat and sit down. And he said, I felt something that night I'd never felt before. It was just precious Holy Ghost of God was convicting that old boy. And he didn't get saved that night, but he went back home and he said, that never left me. He worked at the NASA test site and he drove a gas truck on the side. And he said, it got so bad on me. He said, one day, he said, I was driving along. He said, I was scared to death. I was going to go to hell. And he said, I just had to pull my old truck over by the road. He said, I crawled up out of that gas truck. I pulled it up by the side of the marsh. He called it the marsh. There's a lot of wetland down there. You know, he said, I pulled that old truck up. And he said, I crawled up under that thing. And he said, I give my heart to the Lord right there. I made a precious friend with him. We sung down there for years and years and years. Won't never forget. He said, I want you boys. That was in the early 80s. He said, I want to have a standing date with y'all till 2016. And he just come up with it. You know, that was 30 years later. He said he wanted us to come and sing for him for that 30 years. And precious friends, precious stories. I remember another time that we was having her singing in Hominy Valley the night that we actually, I don't know if you remember the song Glory Land that we recorded.
Sang I don't believe
years
I do.
And years and years. But we was singing that night. And Nicholas, I guess there was 100 people shouting at one time. I don't know if you've ever been around that kind of service or not, but it was just unbelievable. People were getting saved in the altar. They was getting saved back in the crowd. Along the fence, I remember a friend of mine hollered one from way back in the audience, he said, hold that altar, boys, hold that altar. His name was Bill Parker. He said, here comes another one. But I had some precious, precious friends get saved that night.
That's awesome.
Oh, I've been in some wonderful services down through the years, Nicholas. Glorious,
yes,
glorious times. The Holy Ghost of God makes such a, it'll move mountains that you couldn't budge. But boy, the coldest of cold hearts, it can melt when he really gets on the scene. And those are some precious times that I remember that was wonderful, wonderful times.
Yes, sir.
And at our church just recently, you know, we seen a world of people saved at our little country church here in Canada, Maple Ridge Baptist Church. And our church is doing wonderful. And I'm so glad that I can be there all the time and feel good, you know, for all them years. We'd get in at maybe 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. We'd always go to church. And now I can be there all the time and feel good. And our church is just doing wonderful. So very proud to be a part of it.
Yes, sir. No doubt.
And I was proud to be a part of gospel music for all them years too, Nicholas. It's a wonderful thing.
It is. Best music in the world, in my opinion.
It is. And I appreciate you for supporting it and promoting it.
Well, I love it. That's for sure. Do you sing in the choir at your church and all that stuff? Or
oh, yeah. We still sing it. We still sing at church and we still sing in the choir. Still sing at a few funerals, but we decided to retire. And so that's all we're doing. Singing at church and a few funerals and a revival or two around, you know, but we're not singing much.
Yep. Well, I hear you.
I will mention this. They're going to use the singing grounds this summer, June the 15th, I believe it is, when they're going to have a countywide revival up there. Brother Ralph Sexton's going to set his big tent up at the singing grounds, and we're going to have a weeks-long revival there, and I'm sure we'll probably sing a night or two at that. It'll be good to have a crowd back on the singing grounds again.
That sounds good. I'm sure that'll be a good time.
Love to have you come up and be with us.
Yes, sir. I'm sure that'll be a wonderful time. Well, I know for all those years you sang bass with the Primitive Quartet. So with that being said, tell me some of your bass singing influences maybe and a few of your favorite bass singers of all time. What do you say there?
Oh, Lord, there's been a world of great bass singers. I loved them all and knew them all. Mike Holcomb, we sang with him for so many years and for so much. And Tim Riley was a great singer. The Good Shepherd had a great bass singer, and I loved them. And just I just loved all the singers. It wasn't just the bass singers. I loved all the great singers and anybody, Nicholas, that had a little bit of a touch of God on them. They didn't have to be the greatest singer in the world for me to get a blessing out of it. If they had a touch of God on them, I loved their singing.
Yes, sir.
I surely did.
For sure. Would you say you have a favorite bass singer of all time? A number one favorite?
I guess Mike Hawthorne would probably be my
Yeah.
favorite bass singer of all time.
He's great, no doubt about it.
He was a good one.
And a good
He
man.
was. And a good man, a good preacher, a good man, good friend.
Yes, sir. I put a post on Facebook saying that I'll be interviewing you, and I asked everyone if they had any questions for you, and I got a few of those. Here's kind of a funny one. If you didn't know, I am a huge fan of bass singing. I always have been for a long time. And so with that being said, somebody put on Facebook and said, "Do you agree with me that bass singers are the important part of a quartet?"
Well, sure they are.
Yeah, they
They're all
are.
a great part, they don't have to have a bass singer, but I love good bass singing. I sure
Oh
do.
yeah. Me
It's
too.
just the low end of the harmony, and I love it. It makes it all just works together. It does.
Yep. Without a bass singer, you don't really have a quartet. So there you go.
No, you don't have a quartet. You sure don't, but you don't have it without the other parts either. It's
Yeah.
just, I love good harmony. I love good harmony. Good
Me
tight
too.
harmony. That's a blessing. I
Yes,
sure
sir.
do, Nicholas.
Yeah. Well, can you play any instruments? I know you sing, but can you play any instruments?
I do not play an instrument. I do not. I was actually the only one in the group that did not play an instrument, but I never did. I never did have that talent, Nicholas, to learn. I didn't. But I'm very thankful that my brothers did, and they were all good pickers. And
Yeah.
we made our own music.
Yeah. Very good. Well, take me back to 1973. Tell me the early history of the Primitive Quartet. Tell me how the group got started and everything.
Well, as I told you, Norman and Furman and me and my brother sang.
Yep.
Started, of course, me and Furman was big buddies. He kind of tucked me under his wing when I got saved, and we was just dear friends. We hunted together all the time and spent a world of time together. And I sang with his family a little bit, and me and my older brother Reagan and Norman and Furman went on a camping trip in 73, and Norman took his violin, Reagan took his guitar, and we had an old song book or two, and just sitting around the campfire after we'd fished, and was camping, we sang a few songs, learned a couple of three songs, and we had all four parts. Came back and sang them for mom and dad, just sitting around the house. They would come to see us a lot, and we sang them. And our preacher happened to be there that night when we sang them. Excuse me, Nicholas said he had wanted us to come and sing at our home church. Maple Ridge Baptist Church, that was the first time that we ever sang as a quartet together. And we had visitors there that night, and they asked us to come to their church, and it just went from there. Around Western North Carolina, Eastern Tennessee, we sang 5 years that way. Bought us an old van just like everybody else. Never, ever intended to sing full time. Never. As a matter of fact, they'd try to give us a little offering when we'd go and sing at churches, and that just kind of bothered us, embarrassed us, and we'd give it back to them. And then in 78, we had a benefit for a flood that was in 78, and us and the Inspiration sang at our local high school together. And shortly after that, Archie was having a little trouble with his voice, and Martin asked us to go travel with them a while just to help him out. It was just a God thing. And so we went with them and had some wonderful, wonderful times together. I remember One of the first singings we ever went with them on. We loaded all our stuff on their bus, our records and 8-track tapes, and piled it on their bus. They was about 8 of them and 4 of us, 11 or 12 of us on that one bus. We sang in Logan, West Virginia that night, one of the first nights that we traveled with them. And that was in their heyday in 78. They was, you know, they was as popular a group as they was. They was, I guess, close to 3,000 people there that night. Nicholas, I won't ever forget as long as I live. And we took the stage. We would sing 5 songs a night. And then they'd come on. And in that 5 songs, I've never witnessed the Spirit of the Lord coming to a place like it did that night in Logan, West Virginia at that field house. Mm-hmm. There was a Holy Ghost hush come on that audience. You could have heard a pin drop. And we sung those 5 songs, and God just so honored that. And Martin was standing over to the side, and quick as we come off the stage, he said, "Boys, this is going to work." He said, "God's going to bless this." And he did. But that was a memorable night. I never felt the Spirit of the Lord any sweeter, I don't believe, many more times than I did that night. And God just put his approval on it. And we traveled with them that 2 years, and we went on our own, you know, and God blessed it the whole time.
Yes, sir. Man, that's a good story. I love it.
It was a powerful, powerful night. Never forget it.
Yep, no doubt. Well, let me ask you this just for fun. I have the Primitive Quartet's When Jesus Brings Sweet Glory Down album. And
that was the first.
Well, was it? That's awesome. Tell me a little bit about that album, just for fun.
Well, we went over here to this little town, Canton. It's the next town west of us, and they had a little studio over there, and we went over and just sang some of the songs that we'd been singing, you know, and I won't ever forget that the engineer, I can't even think of his name right now, but he said, "Boys," he said, "now if you'll put them records out everywhere you go," we ordered 500, thought we'd never sell 500 records. He said, if you lay them out everywhere you go and tell them people that that you've got them," he said, "it'll take you a while, but," he said, "Yuns will finally sell them, and you might have to order some more." Well, we took them, and it wasn't but just a month or so, and we sold that 500 records and went back. Wow. And told him we needed some more, and he said, "You mean to tell me that Yuns have sold 500 records? It was just a month or so." And we said, yeah, we sold. He said, "I can't believe that." So it went from there, you know. We would, people bought our records all of our life really well and you know, and supported us. Of course, we just done our best to brag on the Lord, never to try to brag on ourselves, and tried to be humble and have God on us and be a blessing. That's what there's a terrible shortage of today, Nicholas. There's a world of great singers, but them, it's just lives close enough. It'll cost you something if you have God on you. But if you live for the Lord and serve Him and you've got a little God on you, you can't get anybody any closer to the Lord than you are yourself, don't you know? But if you've got a close walk with the Lord and you can feel God on your own life, you can be a blessing to people. And if you're a blessing to people, they want to hear you again. I always told people, you've got to be a little different from everybody else. You've got to have some original songs. You can't just go on singing everybody else's songs always. And you've got to have the touch of God on what you do. If you've got those 3 things, you can make it. You can make it in the gospel music world or in a country music world or any world. But if you've got the touch of God on you, you've got original songs, and you're a little different from everybody else, that's what I think you've got to have to make it.
Yeah. Well, that's good stuff, brother. On this first album that y'all did, was it all original songs on there that nobody else had done? Like when Jesus Brings Sweet Glory
Lord,
Down and
no. That
Going
was
On
just
Home and
songs out of that was songs out of the old song books. We used to get, we learned to sing by the music, and we'd just open, we'd get a brand new song book, and we'd sing the, we could sing every song in the book. If you got a lead singer that can read the music, and everybody else that can follow along and sing the music, we sang him out of them old Stamps, Baxter and Vaughn, and they had a new book come out three or four times a year, and we'd get those Stamps, Baxter and Vaughn song books, sing every song in them, and just pick out the best ones that was in them, and that's the ones we would sing.
Yep.
Of course, they was new songs just every few months. But they were in those song books, and then later on, Reagan got to writing song. They wrote a world of songs that we sang, my brother, and the other boys wrote some songs. I never did say, write a song. I gave Reagan some ideas for songs, but I never did write a song. But he wrote probably 30% of what we sang, and we'd get them out of them old song books, but we'd always try to sing songs, not that the popular groups sang. We'd sing songs that we'd get out of them old song books, or Reagan would write, or some
Yep.
of our friends would write. Then later on, a lot of people would, send you songs that they wrote that would be original songs, and that's what we would sing.
Well, I got you, brother. Here's another Facebook question. And you shared that funny story about Norman earlier. But here's a question about him. It says, what is your favorite memory of Norman Wilson in concerts or en route to the concerts? And your favorite one of when y'all were just hanging out when y'all were not on the road.
Favorite memory of something that happened to Norman.
Yeah. In concerts or whenever you were en route to the concerts.
I can't tell you my funny. Oh, Norman. I'll tell it anyway. Norman would he we'd stop and eat, before the concert, and if he ate a big salad, and a lot of times he would, my wife looked around the corner and said, "Be careful." But he would eat a big salad, and that stuff they'd put on him salad would make him have to go to the bathroom. Well, we got off a bus one night, and as he got off a bus, he was needing to go to the bathroom bad, and there's one of them precious old brothers or sister caught him as he come off the door, and he was dying to go, and we knew it, and we was all just standing up there just dying laughing at him, because we knew he was needing to go to the bathroom bad, and he didn't want to be rude to that person. He wanted to be sweet. That was kind of on the road, and a funny thing happened. We laughed at him about that for a long time. What else did you say? What was the other question you had?
How about your favorite story of him whenever y'all were not on the road and y'all were just hanging out together whenever you were not on the road?
Oh, we hunted and fished together, many, many times, and just had some wonderful times. We went to Chesapeake Bay, me and Norman and Jeff, and there was a big gang of us went, and a man by the name of Thurman McClam take us up there. He was good to a lot of people. Another dear friend, Ken Shields, O'Shields. He loved to pull jokes and have fun with Jeff, and as we went into that restaurant, we'd caught a bunch of fish and talked them people into frying them fish up just for a big restaurant. And Ken O'Shields and Jeff decided, Jeff was always putting on a get up, and he had a big get up on that, like looked like a poor boy that was, you can't say that, handicapped. He'd pull them britches way up on his belly and put an old hat on, some old teeth in, and Ken was leading him in, and he let him in, him acted staggering around, and he led him up to the table, and of course everybody in that restaurant was watching him, and Ken got to being a little bit mean to Jeff, smacking him around, and making him behave. He was acting, cutting up. And Norman, I thought Norman was going to die. He was laughing so hard. And there was some people got so mad at Ken. I'm telling you, I thought they was going to climb his frame and fight him. Them old women and I was getting so mad at him. But and Norm was just sitting over there dying and laughing. And Jeff, finally he took his get off, you know, and sat up and ate his supper. And them old women, they got over it a little bit then. But I'm telling you, Norm was dying at that. He was laughing so hard.
Yeah. Man, I'm sure y'all had some wonderful times together, for sure.
Oh, we did have. We did have, Nicholas. We really did. Wonderful
Yes, sir.
times.
Yep. Who'd you say is your personal favorite gospel group of all time?
Oh, personal favorite gospel group of all time. I'll say so many comes to my mind. I love the McCamies, love the Good Shepherd Quartet, love the Inspirations. I like the New Inspirations. They're doing a wonderful job now.
They are.
They're doing a wonderful job. And there's a lot of groups that I dearly love, you know, that you've never heard of. But there's a lot of good groups out there. Not some of the people that you would think, but we sang with the McCamies a lot, and I dearly love them. And, of course, the Wisnets and Karen Peck. And, there's a bunch of them that we sang with over and over and over and over. That's some of the ones that we sang with the most, you know, down through the years. A lot of them are some of my favorites.
Yep. Very good. How about your favorite era of gospel music?
My favorite what?
Your favorite era of gospel music.
Oh, era of gospel music. Well, I guess we was in it in its heyday, you know, in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Lord have mercy, we had good crowds the whole time, and we sang all over everywhere. And in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, even 2000s, you know, we had gospel music was very popular, and people just came out and supported it very well. Of course, they did, you know, right on up to 23 when we retired.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, here's something fun that I like to do. If you can, I'd like you to put together a made-up quartet. So obviously this quartet you couldn't hear because they're made up. But who do you think would just be the members of just a great made-up quartet that you would like to hear if you could? Anybody. It can be people that have passed away or people that are alive or whatever. It doesn't matter.
Oh, Lord, have mercy, I guess.
Just put together a quartet. Anybody.
What's that boy that sings for Gerald Wolfe, his tenor singer?
Chris Allman.
Oh, Chris. He's one of my favorites. I'd like to have Chris and maybe Mike singing the bass. And I love to hear my brother sing baritone, you know, and hear Mike. And let's see, who else do I like?
That'd be Reagan singing baritone?
No, that would be Mike, my younger brother, singing the baritone. He's a great baritone singer. We've got to have a lead singer, ain't we?
Yep.
Mercy, maybe Mark Trammell singing the lead. Of course, he sings lead and baritone too, but that would be a good quartet I'd like to hear sing.
It would. So Mike Colcomb and Mike Riddle and Mark Trammell and Chris Allman, that'd be great.
That'd be a good quartet.
Yep. How about a piano player?
Oh, Lord, have mercy. I don't know. There's a world of great piano players. I don't know. Let's see. Just to tell you the truth, I'd like to hear my wife play the piano for him. She's a great pianist. She's played the piano at our church for 50 years.
Well, there you go.
She's a great choir pianist. You know, she can transpose and play in any key or play by music, and she's a great piano player. I'd like to hear that.
Well,
never thought about it, but I'd like to hear that.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. If you could sit and chat with any gospel music personality that you never got the chance to meet, who would it be and what would the conversation be about?
Oh, dear Lord.
Anyone you never met?
That I never met.
Right.
Mercy sakes, I've met about all of them that I've ever sung. I don't know who that would be, brother. I don't. I'm sorry.
Well,
I talked to
them
about them. Go ahead.
Did you ever meet somebody like, say, Big Chief?
Never did. Never did.
He would be cool.
Yeah, it'd be nice to talk to any of them old ones that's dead and gone. It would be.
Yeah.
It would be. That never
Oh, yeah.
was a dream of mine, you know. I never dream about doing things like that. I enjoyed talking to all my friends now, and we'd talk about the industry and how they got started and things like that. They've all got
Very
different
good.
stories to tell. They really do.
Very good. Here's something else fun. I'd like you to list five gospel music albums that you would have someone listen to if you were going to try to introduce someone to gospel music so they could get a good taste of it. Or if
Oh,
you can't think of
mercy.
specific albums, think of five gospel groups you'd like to give somebody an album of.
Well, that Live in Warner Robins by the Inspirations, I think that was in their heyday.
Yeah.
The Good Shepherd Quartet.
Uh-huh.
I know they don't, nobody know, you know, they're not one of the great, the Cathedrals. They
Yes.
had some, the McCameys Live. And how many is that? Three or four?
That's about four. So you can do one more.
I see. I guess Emylon Hayes, some of their albums, they're doing some wonderful, wonderful singing.
They are. Excellent. Brother, I have two more things for you, all right?
Lay them on me.
The first one is called the Fast Five. What this is just five simple questions that you can just answer just a simple answer to. What is your favorite food?
My favorite food is probably deer meat.
Sounds good. How about your favorite dessert?
My wife makes it's called a gumdrop cake. She make me a couple of them a year. I always want at Christmas. That's my favorite cake.
What's in it?
Like a fruit cake with lots of nuts, but she makes there's a Peter Paul mound cake that I love and a strawberry cake in her on the counter that I love. And she makes a coconut pound cake that Susan Wisnant's mother used to make. She got that recipe. Her mother-in-law used to make that. That's a great cake. So there's your four or five that I dearly love.
Awesome. Very good. How about your favorite TV show?
Oh, probably Gunsmoke.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. That's a good one for sure. How about your favorite vacation spot?
Favorite vacation spot? I don't know, Mitch, and I went to Alaska this year and went on a halibut fishing trip. I've been to Alaska two or three times, and I really love Alaska. And we also went on the Journeys of Paul this year with Brother Ralph Sexton. That was a wonderful vacation.
Oh,
Just
I
on
bet
the
it was.
Journeys of Paul, it was a wonderful trip.
For sure. Love it. And last but not least, how about your favorite Bible verse? And tell me why it's your favorite.
Ephesians 2:7. That in the ages to come, he'll show his exceeding riches of his kindness toward us through his Son, Christ Jesus. I didn't quote it perfectly, I don't guess, but through the ages to come, he'll show his exceeding riches and his kindness towards us through his Son, Christ Jesus. I've thought about that so much about the ages to come that he's going to show his great kindness towards us. Nicholas, that's going to be something. That is going to be something.
That's good stuff, brother. No doubt. My last question for you is, if you were leaving Earth tomorrow, what do you think would be the last song that you would sing for the world? Whole entire
My
world
hope
could
is
hear
in the
you.
blood.
Amen.
My hope is in the blood. Reagan wrote
That's a
that
good one.
many, many years ago when Sam Walton died, you know, the owner of Walmart, and thought that out of all of his great riches, he couldn't buy another day. The only hope that he'd have that's worth anything is in the blood of the darling Lamb of God that gave his life for us.
Amen. Brother, I
That
have
would
thoroughly
be it.
enjoyed doing this.
Well, thank you, Nicholas. I hope you did, and I hope somebody gets a blessing out of it. Thank you for what you do. You keep encouraging these little youngins.
Well, I appreciate it, and I have thoroughly enjoyed doing this with you, brother. And I appreciate it. Thank you so
All right.
much, brother.
You're welcome, Nicholas. Talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's interview with my friend Larry Riddle. If you would, please share this interview with your family and your friends, whether it be by text or Facebook or whatever the case may be, and that'll be much appreciated. Please tune in exactly 2 weeks from today for another great interview right here on the Southern Gospel Conversations podcast. Thank you so much.